Blog Talk Radio.
It's showtime. Here it is. Anyway, It is the Pinko the Bear Show. Listen to my voice. Doesn't that sound great tonight? Be warned. So I've been sick all day. I don't think I got out of bed till 5 o'clock. And I milled about, and I, instead of spending the normal 3 or 4 hours preparing for the show, well, I spent an hour and a half or so, because I took another nap around 7. Not feeling particularly good, but I'm going to get through this. You know, if it gets really bad and I can't, well, maybe we'll just do an hour instead of 2 hours. Hate to cheat you out of an hour, you know. I'm only doing this once a week these days. Anyway, it's Pinko the Bear Show, and thanks for coming. The chat room is open. Not exactly filling up with vampires, but, you know. Nice to have you. I got a guest without a name. And Schnooky is in the Eric. Hey, what's up? Yeah, it's midnight to 2 a.m. Pacific time, so I understand a lot of people, you know, aren't going to exactly be up and hanging out in the chat room. But that's the way it goes. I'm just kind of a vampire kind of guy. And this is Lefty Leftist ear candy for the choir, or I should say ear candy for the vampire choir. Every Tuesday night / Wednesday morning at midnight, terrific Pacific time. The call-in number, if you want to talk about Lefty Leftist stuff, the call-in number is area code 213-816-0357. 213-816-0357. And I'll be taking calls a little later in the show. I do see that area code 808 is there. But oftentimes people will call and just to listen on their phones or whatever handheld device they have. So if you want to speak to me, you press 1. When you press 1, I'll get a little flag saying, "Hey, man, I want to talk to Pinko." So anyway, I'll try to keep an eye on that a little later in the show. So there's a bunch of stuff going on. First, just an update. I told you last week one of our comrades here in town, Rick, was targeted and harassed and arrested. We are having a meeting of the Sierra Mountain Capitals Anti-Capitalist Collective and in an outdoor area downtown, and the cops saw him ride his bicycle on the sidewalk, and the chicken chips, not only did they give him a ticket, but they arrested him as well. But anyway, he's out. Everything's cool. He'll have a court date. The cops probably won't even show up. I'm sure everything will be fine, but this is what they do. They harass activists and harass protesters and harass just regular human beings trying to be free on a planet that we were born free on, and then somebody put up some walls and started making rules, and I don't know. So anyway, so Rick is out, and it's all good, and life is good. Speaking of life is good, I also want to mention this. www.thecommonsprojectnetwork.com. Don't know why it's not .org, but it's .com. TCPN Network, folks. It's a brand new deal. I have mentioned it before on the show. I'm going to keep mentioning it at the top of each show. But this is the plan is this will be a hub for all things lefty. So all the different shows that come from a anarchist, socialist, communist, Pinko Commie perspective, we're gonna aggregate them here at this website so you can look at all the different content there. A lot of really good stuff. I mean, if you're already in the choir, you know, it's just probably reaffirming what you already know. But if you say you're a liberal, say you're a Democrat, say you're, you know, maybe a conservative. I don't know why you'd be listening to this show, but if you are, this is a really good site, and there's a bunch of good shows. There's AWOP Radio, there's a Pinko the Bear Show, there's Air Amartafio, there's Worldwide Hippies, baby, there's Roundtree 7 and Here Be Monsters, and a special shout-out to Gwen Berry of Here Be Monsters on Blog Talk Radio. She is allowing me to use her account on this night each week to bring you the Pinko the Bear Show. I used to do, have my own account, and you know, that involves money, and I used to do it 5 nights a week for a couple of years. So I'm done with that because I got other stuff going on. Got the IWW, got Smack, you got solidarity with labor groups. There's stuff to do, you know. There's stuff out in the real world, activist stuff to do. And plus, you know, trying to make some money and working. So, at any rate, let me move on to this. Now that I've mentioned thecommonsprojectnetwork.com, please get over there, show your support. And if you know of any, lefty leftist programs, radio or podcasts or YouTube channels that would fit in with this, let me know. Let me know on the Facebook page that I've created. It's called, obviously, The Pinko the Bear Show on Facebook. You can look me up. Hit likey. Hit the likey button. And let me know who you think might be good content for our fledgling network. I'd appreciate that. We just added the Authority Smashing Hour, I think, about 2 weeks ago. So welcome aboard, Ash. The Authority Smashing Hour. All right, so speaking of activist stuff, I found this the other day, and I was pretty happy about it. If you remember a couple of years ago, or maybe you don't know, but I've always been a fan of Margaret Flowers, Dr. Margaret Flowers. She's been out in front on the single-payer healthcare thing, universal healthcare system, you know, pushing that. Anyway, and her buddy Kevin Zeese, I'm a big fan of both of these folks. They started, you know, what was it called? I forgot what they called it, but it ended up basically being Occupy D.C. There were two occupations in D.C., the regular Occupy, and then theirs started October 6th. I think it was called Stop the Machine. But basically it was all the same stuff, you know, just a different banner, a different name. But Margaret and Kevin have created a new website, and I want everybody to go to this. In fact, if you're listening right now, go to this if you're on your computer. Check it out. It's called popularresistance.org, popularresistance.org, daily movement news and resources. So here are some folks that are doing things, right? And this is a hub for what's going on in the world, or at least in the United States, popularresistance.org. And just let me read you her opening letter, just to give you an idea of what this site is all about. So Margaret says, 2 years ago we launched October2011.org. That was the Stop the Machine. We ask if the time might be right for a larger mass of people to rise up against the corporate control of our government and U.S. imperialist policies. I can get behind that. We weren't certain what the answer would be, but 6 months later, hundreds of thousands of you did rise up in Occupy encampments across the nation. Many more were inspired to join the work on a broad variety of injustices in their communities, and that is so true. Today we know that history is no longer knocking. History has opened the door and is standing in front of you, people. The broad movement for peace and social, economic, and environmental justice is here. And you're a part of it, or you should be a part of it. So today we announce a new platform to connect and build the mass popular resistance that is growing in the United States. And it's called popularresistance.org. What a great name. So what this is, it's a daily movement news and resource website that'll help keep you informed about the actions, about the events, and to provide you with tools for organizing in your community and creating a new world. We also seek to provide common vision to end a corporate rule and a strategic framework to achieve it. And then there's a guide to using the website there, popularresistance.org. So let me go ahead and do the rest of this, because I think it's kind of important. And you know, we all kind of feel like we're alone sometimes. Oh, I think I don't like the way things are going, and I really want to do something, but I don't know what to do, and I don't have any friends, and I don't know, my other friends think I'm crazy. And no, you're not crazy. You're just separated. You're atomized. You're by yourself, alone with your television, right? You're working too many hours, and you don't have enough time. Well, you can find a little bit of time to do something. Start with what you've got. Start where you're at and do a little bit at a time. Whether it's a podcast, whether it's showing up in solidarity at a picket line, or you know, organizing a rally, or just showing up to one, or just getting information. There's a lot of stuff you can do. And more and more people are coming on board and waking up to the fact that we do live in a fascist society. We live in a corporate-controlled fascist society, and it's killing us. It's taking away our rights and controlling us in ways that, well, human beings just frankly should not be controlled. So to make this next phase effective, we ask you to share popularresistance.org with others. Please do that. Go to the website, read it over, share it with your network. That's why you have social media. It's not about what you had for dinner. It's not posting pictures of nice sunsets, although you can, but use your social media to share important things like this. So this is the movement site, man. And we encourage you to use it. Submit your projects to the calendar. Tell us your ideas. Share your articles and tools. And a lot of people have already joined as contributors. I imagine I will be doing the same. We announced this effort following the tremendously successful worldwide march against Monsanto, with more than 2 million people participating in protests in 52 countries and 457 cities. Like, wow, somebody counted them all. This reveals the potential of the movement and the need for popularresistance.org, because the corporate mass media gave virtually no attention to these protests. Kill your TV, folks. You'll be better for it. The Monsanto March showed the power of non-hierarchical organization, or organizing, I should say, allowing leadership to grow wherever it was, and the solidarity across cities and nations of the world. Now, two nonviolent activists from the Meta Center asked the question, could the march against Monsanto be our salt march? Could this be a turning point in our challenge to corporate power? Well, we think it could be. Opposition to Monsanto is really about bigger issues of corporate power and globalization. It's really not just about GMOs, frankenfoods, okay? It's much larger than that. Corporate power and globalization. So then they go on. Their first campaign, and I'm going to learn more about this. I only know what I read here. I'm going to learn more about it, and I'll bring you more about it. But you can also learn about it on your own. To build this momentum, our first campaign as popularresistance.org will be to stop the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TPP. We will stop the TPP, and it'll be a great victory against the transnational corporations seeking a global corporate coup. It will be a great victory on which we will continue to build a movement against the rule of money and concentrated corporate power. And now, here's the strategy, folks. And basically, it's a four-part strategy. First of all, obviously, I think, educate and unify people. Educate and unify people by showing that the issues that we care about will be made worse by the TPP. And the TPP isn't really a trade agreement at all. What it is, it's a corporate end run around government on everything, folks, from internet freedom to banking regulations, from workers' rights to health care. From environmental protection and agriculture to consumer safety. It is huge. The TPP is an issue that unites us in solidarity across issues and across nations. So step one, educate and unify. Step two, folks, here we go. Expose the corporate interests who have drafted the agreement. 3 years of negotiations have been kept secret from the media, elected officials, and the public, while business interests like Monsanto, Walmart, Wall Street banks, massive pharmaceutical companies, ExxonMobil, BP, etc., and all their 600 corporate advisors, they were all there helping to draft the TPP. And, of course, the result is an agreement that puts what? Puts profit ahead of the necessities of the people and the protection of the planet. Everything has to be commodified, don't it? No. So, number three, stop Fast Track. Fast Track is known as Trade Promotion Authority. The Obama administration knows that it can't pass TPP if Congress actually plays its constitutional role by, you know, holding hearings, allowing witnesses to testify about the impact of TPP, and allowing amendments. So, got to stop the fast track. And then, of course, stop the TPP. Going to stop it with protests. Wherever there are negotiations for the TPP going on, corporate headquarters in Washington, D.C., and at home in congressional districts. Since the battle in Seattle in 1999, basically the World Trade Organization has been stalled, which is a good thing. When people know what is actually in the TPP, they're going to stop this too. And any member of Congress supporting it will be kicked out of office on their ass. TPP, man. What is it? What is it? So anyway, the Trans-Pacific Partnership can be stopped. Already there's a movement growing to stop it, and we'll work closely with that movement. We need you to help. You can start by spreading the word. Share the website, popularresistance.org. Learn more about it yourself. But let me tell you why it's so important. See, when we look at the resistance efforts of the last week, we recognize that all of these struggles would be made more difficult if the TPP becomes law. There's a bunch of stuff going on in this world. You just don't see it on CNN. And if the TPP passes, it becomes law, all this work that activists are doing in various different areas is going to become more difficult. Let's take workers' rights, for example. So Seattle became the seventh city in the United States in which low-paid workers walked out of fast food restaurants demanding a living wage of $15 an hour. I'd like to abolish the wage system, but I can't do it on my own. But at least we should have a living fucking wage, don't you think? $15 an hour? That sounds reasonable for right now. Thousands of women in Cambodia, they work in the garment factories. They held a sit-down strike in Cambodia. You think we're the only ones that know how to strike? Hell, we barely know how. But garment factory workers in Cambodia, sit-down strike, even though they were confronted by police, who, of course, had these cattle prods. They were basically electric stun gun, but they're like batons, but basically cattle prods. And now Walmart workers launched their first sustained strike. And they're going to hold a June 7th ride for respect to the annual shareholders meeting. That's what you got to do. You got to show up. United Students Against Sweatshops continues to protest sweatshops, unfair wages, and industrial accidents. Think Bangladesh. But see, under the TPP, the laws that protect the workers would be challenged with corporate lawsuits for any decrease in profits. You get this? Under the TPP, the laws in the country, or in any country for that matter, because this is an international agreement, if a country stops a corporation from screwing their people over, well, then, under this law, that corporation can sue that country for loss of profits or decrease in profits. The TPP doesn't need to stand, doesn't need to pass. We have to do something about it. So let's look over at housing. There's a foreclosure activist conducted mass protests last week in D.C. Did you see it on TV? No, but they were there. And the actions they seek and the laws like the Homeowners Bill of Rights in Minnesota, which passed because of activist pressure, that those kind of laws would be challenged under the TPP. The banks, the mortgage lenders, they could sue governments in trade tribunals. Where's the fucking democracy? They could sue the government in trade tribunals for lost profits, in which, of course, the judges in the trade tribunals will be corporate lawyers on leave from their job, monkey trial. The corporations will win if the TPP passes. There's other areas too. Education. So students who are protesting the closing and the privatization of schools they're going to find that there's a really strong, they're going to find there is strong opposition in the TPP to so-called state-owned enterprises. What we're talking about here is public schools, public colleges, public middle schools, high schools. The TPP will make it harder for education activists, and it'll make it worse for all of us. It's going to weaken the public services like healthcare in favor of for-profit corporate interests. This thing is really broad, and it really reaches a lot of areas. The environment, environmental groups, organizing for the fearless summer of protests against extreme excavation and radical energy will find their goals more difficult to achieve despite terracide and tar sands waste that's piling up. And the existing trade laws have already resulted in 450 suits by corporations against 89 governments. Over $700 million has been paid to these corporations because of the suits, about 70% of which are from challenges to natural resource and environmental policies. So if a country decides to ban fracking or tar sands, then the companies will sue the government and probably win, because they've got the judges on the tribunals, for lost profits. So, you know, it just goes on and on. Big finance. So protesters who want to see the banks broken up, the big banks broken up, you know, smart people who want to see the big banks broken up, people who want to see the top officials prosecuted, or maybe they just want greater regulation, the reformists, they're going to find that the TPP makes these things more unlikely. The TPP gives banks greater laxity to move money in and out of countries. It stops regulation of banks and allows casino-style high-risk investments to continue. And the list goes on, but I'm still going to read it to you because I think it's important. Here's one: food. Opposition to Monsanto and genetically engineered food will be made more difficult. The opposition will be made more difficult by the TPP. Under the TPP, sovereign right to control biotech foods will be delegated to who? Not the people, not the will of the people, but to big agriculture, big ag. A world market concentrated in the hands of just a few multinational players that will entirely circumvent the democratic process and political action. Are you getting the picture here? And corporatism. Last week, Los Angeles voted 76.6% to end corporate personhood. They joined about, 175 other cities in calling for a constitutional amendment to end the rule of money. Now, if the TPP isn't stopped, we're going to look back on it as the move to corporate nationhood. I mean, these are just a few examples of the current injustices. People are working hard to end. And all of these efforts, they're going to be made a lot more difficult if there's a global corporate coup. Some would say it's already happened, but no, yes, but it can get worse. So do something about it. So if you sign up for the newsletter at progressiveresistance.org, they'll keep you updated on this stuff. They'll give you all the information you need to know, strategies, help, tools, contacts, and they're going to send out a newsletter about the TPP campaign in the coming weeks. But for now, just begin to educate yourself and your friends and your family and your crazy uncle that watches Fox. Begin to educate the people you know by sharing the newsletter, PopularResistance.org. Anyway, there's more on that, but I think I've taken enough time and hopefully made the point. I really hope everybody gets over there and checks it out. I would appreciate it. The whole world would appreciate your activism. Start with what you've got. Do what you can when you can. Do whatever you can do with, you know, when you can do it. It's a Pink of the Bear show. I'll be back in 4 minutes. I promise. Don't go away. Why do I not hear my clip? Ah, there it is. Smoke 'em if you got 'em. Have a cocktail. You're up late. The Vampire Nation. We'll be right back. why would an anarchist end a song abruptly like that? I don't know. I love that song. Because old age pensioners eat dog food. Because I'm afraid of the police. Great song. The ABCs of Anarchy. Welcome to the Pink of the Bear Show. I am not feeling up like I always am. I'm a little down, but that's okay. We'll do the show anyway, right? I might not have the same enthusiasm as always, but perhaps I'll have a little less vitriol tonight. But this one got my back up. As you may or may not know, I'm a member of the IWW, Industrial Workers of the World, and I shared a meme, a picture on Facebook the other night. And just to be clear, not everybody on my Facebook, I had a couple thousand friends, not everybody is on board with everything I'm on board with. I've got a lot of liberals, Democrats, and I've got some right libertarians, but I don't speak with them very much. And I've got a bunch of Burning Man friends and very apolitical. We don't talk politics at Burning Man. But anyway, I posted this meme, this picture, and basically it shows, industry smokestacks and such, cartoon. It's got a logo of the IWW. And in big letters it says, if you work it, you should control it. Fight for workers' self-management. And to me it's really clear, those who work the farms should own the farms. Those who work the restaurants should own the restaurants. You should receive a full value for your labor, and an owner, an investor, an absentee, owner should not be in the picture at all. Shareholders should not be in the picture. There shouldn't even be shareholders. If you work the farms, you own the farms. If you work the factories, you own the factories. This notion of capitalism, it's only a couple hundred years old. It is insane. And it's ripping people off. And it's killing people. At any rate, so I posted this, and one of my friends shot back, if you want something, just build it yourself. Now, just to be clear, he is a small business owner. He has a pizza shop, and maybe I think he's got a bar there too. And he lives in he's an American, but he lives in Japan. Married Chris. If you're listening, I love you. But that was such an ignorant statement. And I'm going to tell you why if you'll listen. So anyway, Chris said, well, if you own, if you don't like the system, if you don't like having a job, a wage job, then just create your own business. And that's a typical response to people who have, grown up in the West, particularly people of privilege, middle class or upper middle class, all sorts of doors are open to them. Loans. Oh, look at the white guy with all his teeth. And a college education paid for because his parents had money or he got a GI Bill or whatever it is, a college education. Let's not get into how something was paid for. But it's a typical response. Oh, you want to take my business away from me. And it's not about that. And we can't just go around I'd like to own an oil company. Well, I can't just build it. There are barriers. And it's the system. It's built into the system. The billionaires and killionaires of this world, and that's what they are. Make no mistake, billionaires are killionaires. There's no way somebody earns $1 billion or more without hurting other people. It's not possible. So if you want to own something, build it, he says. And I just, and that's a typical response. And the reason I want to bring this up is because I think it's, Chris is typical of a lot of people. They fancy themselves a capitalist because they own a small business, one that he built himself. Using, of course, other people's labor and paying them less than the full value of what they've created, skimming off the top, so to speak. But these people haven't read and haven't understood the kinds of things that that I've read or many, many other people have read and understood. And if you look into it, if you really start peeling away, looking at the realities of capitalism, you'll come to the same conclusion. There's no doubt about it. I don't believe that this is an opinion. I think it is a fact. But if you're not willing to really look at capitalism and what it causes around the world and what it causes, the misery that it causes, and that, you know, and maybe start thinking that there is a better way to organize society, something that puts people above profits, you know, if you're not willing to entertain that, then you make snarky little comments like, well, if you want to own something, build it. Now, I understand it. I used to say the same thing. I mean, 20 years ago, I was that same guy. I'm just not anymore. But let me let Jeff Mincy, my friend Jeff, talk about this a little bit. And this maybe this will put things into perspective if you still don't quite get what I'm talking about. Do you prefer, and this is his status from, I don't know, a week ago or so. He says, do you prefer capitalism to socialism? Do you prefer capitalism to socialism? A lot of people will say yes because they don't understand it. If so, that means the following. Instead of receiving full value that you generate with your labor, you prefer to receive only a small fraction of that value as a wage in order that your employer may become more wealthy. If you prefer capitalism to socialism, instead of having an equal voice in the policies, in the direction, and the governance of your workplace, you prefer to be the subject, to be subject to a central authority which dictates policy over you. Be a good little wage slave. Instead of having a manager who serves as an administrative resource and source of support for your work, instead of having that, if you prefer capitalism to socialism, well, then you prefer to have a manager to whom you are beholden for your livelihood and who can fire you on the spot for any arbitrary reason, and in doing so, turn you out on the street or at least place you in dire jeopardy, placing in jeopardy your means of shelter or to feed yourself and your family. Instead of using free and universal health care, you prefer to go uncovered or to pay really ridiculously high rates for health insurance. If you actually prefer capitalism to socialism, instead of housing, which is free to all, you would prefer to get a mortgage and devote the rest of your life to paying it off. Instead of using a free global public infrastructure for your transit, you prefer to pay high airfares to capricious airline industry players. If you actually prefer capitalism to socialism, instead of sharing equitably in the bounty of society, you prefer that the few would profit on the backs of the many. And instead of living in a simple, sustainable, and peaceful way, you prefer to plunder the earth, damage the ecosystem, or maybe even kill it, and even go to war. Go to war. You prefer to go to war for low prices on the latest useless consumer goods. Capitalists. If you prefer capitalism to socialism, instead of being an equal co-owner in your workplace, you prefer to defer ownership to a few private employers. And this one. Instead of having plenty of free time, you know, to live your life, to visit your family, your friends, to travel, to pursue your interests and passions, if you prefer capitalism to socialism, you prefer to toil 40 to 60 hours each week in the same dreary and monotonous kind of work. And I ask you again, do you prefer capitalism to socialism? Jeff has a great way of speaking. I really, really enjoy him. If you if you're on Facebook, add him. Jeff Mincy, Mincey. He's up in the Twin Cities area. It's like I can think what he said, but it's just he makes it so much clearer. So I dig it. Anyway. But that one, I don't know. I wanted to share that because it kind of got under my craw. Is that the term? I don't know. It pissed me off is what it did. And I, Chris, if you're listening, and I know you're not, I love you, and I'll see you at the burn, and it'll be great, and we won't talk politics. But for fuck's sake, pull your head out of your ass. Okay, maybe that was a little bit harsh. But that's how I'm feeling. When I see things like that, well, you don't like the system? Just build it yourself. No, I don't like the system. The system doesn't like us either. How about a 4-hour work day, huh? How about we take the profit out of everything and we only produce things for use value? I mean, God damn, you go to the grocery store, go to the grocery, how many types of toothpaste do we have? We got 100 different brands and types of toothpaste. How many do we really need? 6? I don't know. 4? 7? The rest of that is waste. There's nothing efficient about capitalism. Nothing at all. 100 brands of toothpaste and all the marketing that goes along to get people to make ill-informed emotional choices when they go shopping. Buy this really expensive car and you'll get laid. Oh, really? No. If you're in advertising, if you're in marketing, just kill yourself. Okay? There's no joke here. Just kill yourself. I love Bill Hicks. You ever heard that? He's got a great rant on marketing and advertising. Bill Hicks died too young. Anyway, do you prefer capitalism or socialism? I think it was very well said. And so there it is. Because you know what? And then here's the other thing people say. The other thing they say, well, I want a mix of capitalism and socialism. And they have this diluted idea. Maybe I'm being a little harsh, but because it's hard to understand what's going on. So maybe let me tone it down. But people have the idea that, oh, I don't know, France or Sweden or Switzerland are socialists. Just because, you know, maybe, I don't know, you're told that they're socialists. Well, they're not. There's still private ownership of the means of production. The people who work in the factories don't own the factories. Yeah, they have social programs, right? But you can't mix capitalism and socialism. Because look, they're two different economic systems. They are based on mutually exclusive tenets. People before profits, or profits before people. And socialism isn't some government program. It's not a bureaucratic regulation. It's not the transfer of concentrated wealth from the private hands to the state, okay? A lot of people think that's what that is. It's the abolition of concentrated wealth. And so, folks, socialism isn't some food co-op. It's not some hippie commune, an eco-village, or some intentional community. No. Socialism is the ownership by the working people of the means of production and the distribution in a society that has abolished private ownership and profit. And capitalism? In contrast, capitalism is an economic system founded on private ownership, profit, and wage labor. And these things can't coexist. You can't mingle them. It's not like two brands of coffee side by side on the supermarket shelf, okay? And I know a lot of people are scared. They're frightened of imagining a better world. They find some kind of, you know, security in what's familiar. even as bad as it clearly is. Thank you, Gene Bales, for that comment. But get out of your comfort zone. Think. Ask questions. Listen to answers from people who know stuff. And capitalism is basically predicated on this ridiculous notion of endless growth on a planet with finite resources. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. And with capitalism, the cornerstone is the concept of profit, which is the extraction of more value from a transaction than what is contributed to that transaction. Let me say that again, because this is important. Capitalism is based on the extraction of more value from a transaction than what was contributed to that transaction. And it's unjust. And it's really unsustainable. You know, everybody makes a deal. They make a contract, a transaction. They buy or sell this. Well, guess what? Somebody's losing. How about we just take that out of the equation? How about we just build things that we need? Maybe we only need 14 models of automobiles instead of, I don't know, how many hundreds we have. How about a little more efficiency, huh? How about instead of a gas station on all four corners of an intersection that all have to market themselves to get people to go to there to buy their special gas, how about we just have one gas station where there's no profit built into the price of the gasoline? How about instead of a CVS on one corner and a Walgreens across the street on the other, or two auto parts, O'Reilly's and I don't know, whatever the other auto parts store is, how about instead of two of them doing the same exact goddamn thing, how about we just have one, make it a little more efficient, and take the profit out of it? You need wiper blades? This is what it costs. No profit. It's a service. I digress. That's what I do. That's what I do. All right, so I think I'm going to take another break. We should play a clip, man. Maybe, what did I play last week? I played Street Sweepers Social Club. I think I played the new Fuck You. Oh, by the way, on the Pink of the Bear show, it is R-rated, PG-rated, I don't know. F-bombs may drop, but F-bombs don't kill people. Real bombs kill people, and we should just stop with the bombings. I'm just saying.
Well, I got a new kind of sweat ass rap. Don't talk smack, flash my gas. I'm finna spit and hold my dick and heat shit up like a thermostat. Grab your partner by the chaps. Give your partner a pimp slap to symbolize the ghetto trap. Step to the right, get three cracks. His jam packed in Tenement Shack. Ain't shit cooking on the stove but crack. This is the Baptist, he'll be gay. Cause Boss is a kleptomaniac. 2x2, promenade. Around the outside, which one of us finna die tonight? Is we finna fight over crumbs to buy, or make a whole motherfucking world ignite? Everybody throw them bows right upside your partner's nose. By now you've got bloody clothes, crabs in a barrel, so the story goes. Think of all their savage acts, grabbing scratch from average cats, bureaucrats with strings attached, walking slate like a match. 2x2, promenade. On your toes, these dance moves we usually do are not the ones that we have chose. Grab on to that beat and grind, try your best to stay alive. We can run, we can't hide, might as well.
Yeah, Street Sweeper Social Club. That's basically that's Boots Riley from The Coup and Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine. And at any rate, so listen, I've got some other stories to share, but I realized I took up the whole hour on those last the last couple. So if you want to call in, 213-816-0357, and then just you know, hit the, I think the number one, and it'll tell you it'll tell me that you want to be on the air. I see somebody is actually holding on, but it's a 1111111111 number, which I believe is a Skype number, but you're maybe just listening on Skype. But if you want to talk, you know, press one. Also, the chat room is open. I see we're down to, well, five or six. Oh, my God. Stabby McHugs is in the house. Stabby McHugs. What's up? Long time no see. And Circe, S-I-R-C-Y, in the chat room. Hi, Circe. We haven't met. I'm glad you're here. And, of course, Eric. Nice to have you. In fact, Eric, why don't you call in, man? We can talk about some of this stuff. Or anybody can call in. I don't care. So, but I probably want to mention this. You know, we're in America. We can't do much about it. But what the hell is happening in Istanbul? Constantinople was Istanbul. Now it's what's happening in Istanbul, man? People are pissed. They're out in the streets. What's it going to take for Americans to get those kind of numbers? I mean, yeah, we had Occupy and there's stuff going on, right? There is stuff going on. And that's why I mentioned earlier, popularresistance.org, the hub, to know what's going on. And if you're just joining me, get yourself to popularresistance.org. Margaret Flowers and Kevin Zeese put this site together, and they're a couple of my favorite activists. But at any rate, so let me just read this. This is so there's no coverage, right? There's no coverage of what's going on in Turkey. And I got this letter. It was going around on Facebook, and that's what I use Facebook for, to find out what's going on, because the corporate media doesn't tell us, and so I just don't even turn it on anymore. But it's called What is Happening in Istanbul? To my friends who live outside of Turkey, I'm writing to let you know what's going on in Istanbul for the last 5 days. Well, now it's been like 14 days or 12 days, something like that. I personally have to write this because at the time of my writing, most of the media sources here in Turkey are shut down by the government, and the word of mouth and the internet are the only ways left for us to explain ourselves and call for help and support. Solidarity. So last week, May 2013, a group of people, most of whom did not belong to any specific organization or any ideology, well, they got together at Istanbul's Gezi Park. And among them were many of my friends and yoga students. The reason was really quite simple. It was to prevent and to protest the upcoming demolition of the park for the sake of building yet another fucking shopping mall at the very center of the city. He didn't cuss. That was me. But sometimes I do. There are numerous shopping malls in Istanbul, at least one in every neighborhood. And the tearing down of the trees was supposed to begin early on Thursday morning, but people went to the park. They went to the park with their blankets, their books, their children. They put their tents down, and they spent the night under the trees. And early in the morning, when the bulldozers started to pull the 100-year-old trees out of the ground, they stood up against them to stop the operation. I mean, they didn't do anything other than standing in front of the machines. Reminds me of that great Mario Savio quote. I wish I had it. I don't have it uploaded. But they did nothing other than stand in front of the machines. But no newspaper, no television, nothing. Nobody was there to report the protest. It was a complete media blackout. But, of course, the pigs came with their water cannon. They have these water cannon vehicles, you know, like little tanks. And, of course, they came with the pepper spray, and they chased the crowds out of the park. And in the evening of May 31st, the number of protesters multiplied. So did the number of cops around the park. Fuck us and we multiply. That's what we used to say at Occupy. Meanwhile, local government of Istanbul shut down all the ways leading up to Tasman Square, where Gezi Park is located. The metro was shut down. Ferries were canceled. Roads were blocked. Does this sound familiar? Do you remember Boston or New York during Occupy? Shut them down, too, so people couldn't get there. Yet more and more people made their way up to the city, to the center of the city by walking. They came from all around Istanbul. They came from different backgrounds, different ideologies, different religions. They all gathered to prevent the demolition of something bigger than the park. It isn't just about the park, folks. It's something bigger. And the right to live as honorable citizens of this country. And they gathered and continued sitting in the park. And the police, let's call them what they are, the riot police, they set fire to the demonstrators' tents. They attacked them with the pressurized water, with the pepper and the tear gas, made in the USA, of course. And of course, they did it during the night, just like what happened in Boston and Oakland and New York City. They do it at night, and they make sure the media doesn't cover it because they're fascists. Two young people were run over by the vehicles and they were killed. Another woman, a friend of mine, was hit in the head by one of the incoming tear gas canisters. The police were shooting the tear gas canisters straight into the crowd. You remember our friend from Oakland got hit in the head and put him in a coma. Brain damage. He's better now. After a three-hour operation, she is still in intensive care and in very critical condition. As I write this, we don't know if she's going to make it or not, and the blog is dedicated to her. These people are my friends, they're my students, they're my relatives. They have no hidden agenda, like the state says or likes to say. Their agenda is out there. It's not hidden. It's very freaking clear. The whole country, folks, the whole country is being sold to corporations by the government. Neoliberalism. He doesn't say that, but that's what it is. The whole country is being sold to corporations by the government for the construction of malls, luxury condos, freeways, dams, nuclear plants. And the government is looking for and creating, when necessary, any excuse to attack Syria against the will of the Turkish people. Because the people aren't running things yet. The statists are running things. The ruling class are running things. Anyway, let me get back to this. So on top of all that, the government control over its people's personal lives has become unbearable as of late. The state, under its conservative agenda, passed many laws and regulations concerning abortion, cesarean birth, sale and use of alcohol, and even the color of lipstick worn by airline stewardesses. Just more and more and more and more. These fuckers won't stop. They want more. You want more, don't you, Rocco? Yeah, that's what I want. I want more. People who are marching to the center of Istanbul are demanding their right to live freely and receive justice, protection, and respect from the state. Well, I hate to break this to you, but you're not going to get those unless you continue to do what you're doing and unless you multiply. You're never going to get respect from the state, but you might get some concessions. They demand to be involved in the decision-making process about the city they live in. And what they've received instead is excessive force, enormous amounts of tear gas shot straight into their faces. Three people lost their eyes. Yet they still march. Hundreds and thousands of citizens from all walks of life then joined them to support for the protesters. His English isn't exactly grammatically correct at times. A couple more thousands passed the Bosporus Bridge on foot to support the people of Tashkent. They were met there with more water cannons and more pepper spray, more hostility. Four people died. Thousands of people were injured. Again, folks, no newspaper, No TV channel was there to report the events. They were busy broadcasting news about Miss Turkey and the strangest cat in the world. I might have to Google the strangest cat in the world to find out. But no, that's what's on the TV machine, and it's really no different than what's going on here in America. We're not getting the real news. We're not getting Miss Turkey and the strangest cat in the world, but we're getting other just ridiculous crap. I don't even know how to say it eloquently. There's no way to say it eloquently. It's just crap. Turn off your TVs. Brian Williams got nothing for you. Megan Fox got nothing for you. And be careful on the internet. Alex Jones got nothing for you. It's crap. But I digress. Because that's what I do. Police kept chasing and spraying them with pepper spray to an extent that stray dogs and cats were poisoned and died by it. Schools, hospitals, this is good though. Schools, hospitals, and even five-star hotels around Tasken Square opened their doors to the injured. See, people do care about people. Billionaires and killionaires that control the governments, well, they aren't really people. I don't think they're human at all. Doctors filled the classrooms and hotels to provide the first aid. And, you know, here's a little something nice. Some police officers refused to spray innocent people with tear gas and quit their jobs. I like those guys. Around the square, they placed jammers, electronic jammers, to prevent the internet connection and 3G networks. They were all blocked. Residents and businesses in the area provided free wireless network for the people on the streets. Restaurants offered food and water for free. But it wasn't on the TV, so it didn't happen. A couple other towns, Izmir and Ankara. People gathered on the streets to support the resistance in Istanbul. Demonstrations spread to other cities where citizens were faced with more brutality and more hostility from police. Hundreds of thousands kept joining. And the mainstream media in Turkey kept showing Miss Turkey and the strangest cat in the world. So he says, I'm writing this letter so that you'll know what's going on in Istanbul. Mass media will not tell you any of this, not in my country at least, and of course not in our country. Please post as many articles as you see on the internet and spread the word. Well, that's what I'm doing right now, and I hope you will too. You can find this letter at the Pink of the Bear show page on Facebook. I do not belong to any political party. I don't believe in politics. I don't defend any ideology, and I am not on the side of any regime. Well, I think he's probably going to pick a side sooner or later. But these are his words. Like many others in Turkey, I am tired and I'm frustrated from the polarization between the Kemalists, seculars, and the Islamists. I don't belong to any of them. I believe in moving away from polarization and towards a new way of relating. I know many people who are out on the streets of Istanbul share the way I think, and I know we are not the only ones. We just want to live our lives with human dignity. As I was posting articles that explained what happened in Istanbul on my Facebook page last night, somebody asked me the following question. What are you hoping to gain by complaining about our country to foreigners? And this blog is my answer to her. By so-called complaining about my country, I'm hoping to gain a few things. Freedom of expression and speech. Respect for human rights. Control over the decisions I make concerning my body. The right to legally congregate in any part of the city without being considered a terrorist. But most of all, by spreading the word to you, my friends, who live in other parts of the world, I'm hoping to get your awareness, your support, and your help. Please spread the word and share this blog. Thank you. In Sanilik Hali, Hali, And there are, if you Google, there are so many pictures of the pigs attacking the people. And there's some stunning, stunning photographs of thousands and tens of thousands of people in the square or on a bridge. This is radio, so I can't show you the pictures, but just Google, like, I don't know, what the title was, like 13 pictures of Istanbul or something like that. Just stunning. It's not about a tree. It's not about uprooting the tree in the square. It's about the wholesale sale of the public domain to corporations, for-profit corporations. They have a word for it. It's called neoliberalism. Insanlik Hali doesn't mention that, but Insanlik Hali says he or she is not interested in politics. Well, politics is interested in you. And you should know things. And you should know what neoliberalism is. You should know what globalization is. You should read John Perkins' book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. You should read Naomi Klein's Shock Doctrine. This is what the empire does. This is what billionaires and trillionaires do. Everything has to be commodified. Everything has to be. Nothing can be in the public domain because, gee, if it's in the public domain, there's no profit for them. You know, here in Reno, this is a trend going on all over the country. Cities, city managers, city councils are giving away. They're selling parking spaces. Instead of the city having meter maids and parking spaces and collecting a little rent for an hour or two while you park downtown and then using that money for the city budget, no, they just sell it to a for-profit corporation. So now that's just one more public thing that's been commodified and put into the private hands. And it's happening all over the country. It has to be stopped. It really does. It has to be stopped. All right. I need to take a break, and I'm going to check in with the two phone calls and see who's on and who wants to talk, and I'll be back. We got, 4 or 5 segments down? 3 to go. It's the Pinko the Bear Show on Here Be Monsters at Blog Talk Radio.
I'm sorry, but I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful. But we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls. Has barricaded the world with hate. We think too much and feel too little. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness. Without these qualities, life will be violent. All will be lost. Do not despair. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die. Dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. Will return to the people. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world to do away with greed. Now let us fight to free the world, to fulfill that promise. Let us all unite. Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes. Despise you, enslave you, tell you what to do, what to think and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men, with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machine. not despair. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die. The power they took from the people will return to the people. Let us all unite.
I like it. I like it a lot. All right. It is the Pink of the Bear Show. I got Eric on the line, and we'll get to that. I don't know what's on his mind, but we'll talk. Call-in number is 213-816-0357. Got about 40 minutes left, and I figure after this song, we'll just chat. It is the talk radio. Midnight, Pacific time.
Like the legend of the phoenix, all ends with beginnings. What keeps the planet spinning? Force from the beginning.
Up all night to get stoned. We're up all night.
We're up all night to get lucky. 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 We're up all night to get lucky.
Yeah, I was just checking the chat room. What is this, some old disco shit? No, it's new disco shit. Actually, it's a brand new one from Daft Punk up in the CD. Hot. Worldwide. Yeah, it's pop. They got a better one called George. I do. We're up all night being lucky. I'm lucky. You're lucky. He's lucky. She's lucky. We're all lucky. Alright, so if you know what that was, write it down on a 3x5 postcard. Send it to I Know What That Reference Was, care of the Pink of the Bear Show, Reno, Nevada. 89511. I bet Eric knows. Eric, you've been holding on for a while. Let me open up your microphone. You there, my friend?
Unmuted.
You are unmuted. Do you know that?
Unmuted.
Do you know that? I'm lucky. He's lucky. She's lucky. We're all lucky.
No, it sounds familiar. It sounds like something out of like, if I had to guess, I'd probably say something like, oh, my God, my brain is so gone. I'm cold, too. I mean, I've got a cold, too, so.
Yeah, well.
Actually, it's an allergy thing, you know, and you get unbalanced and all that other stuff. But well, I was dancing in my driveway to Daft Punk, so.
Yeah, there you go. You know. There you go. Well, yeah. I know.
Not Transylvania.
Know.
What the hell? Rocky Horror.
Yes, we have a winner, folks. Without the 3x5 postcard sent to, I know what the reference was.
Oh,
Karen,
shit.
The Bear Show. Yes, you're the
winner. I should just shut up.
Yes, Magenta. I believe it was Magenta, or it was. Who was the other female in the Rocky Horror from the castle? Anyway, yes, we're all lucky.
I was never much of a Rocky Horror Picture Show addict.
Oh,
I
am so disappointed.
I went to one theater showing of it.
I am so disappointed.
I thought it was awesome, but we
used to go and I'd bring a squirt gun for the rain and the newspaper for my hat and cards and all the little props, and it was so much fun at the midnight show in Dallas, Texas, back in the late 70s and early 80s.
Oh yeah.
So what's on
my
your
favorite
mind, man?
My favorite part of your show so far tonight, though, was when you were talking about Scott Olsen getting hit with a canister in his head. You said whatever his name was, he was brain damaged. He's better now.
Yes, he is. He is better now.
Scott Olsen, brain damaged, better now.
Better now, right? Well, you know, I'm a little flip sometimes.
Yeah,
I couldn't remember his name at the time, which is crazy because I covered that. I was watching the attack on the protesters, the occupiers in Oakland, in the Bay Area at that time. I was watching the live news feed and then trying to do my show at the same time. And I played the audio clip. You know, if I had my old account instead of borrowing this one for one show a week, I have like thousands of clips. And some of them came to mind tonight. And I, Rocky, you want more, don't you?
Well, I'll be truthful with you. Whenever the topic of Scott Olsen comes up, I have kind of like some sort of lower level memory of it that goes to the gut, where it's all laid out for me as I saw it happen, and I think it has everything to do with the fact that, you know, he was a veteran, and you know, myself being a veteran, as much as I'm also an anarchist now, the truth is there's still this undercurrent that runs in me where,
right,
you know, whenever one of my friends uses the word comrade, like I was almost going to call Scott Olsen a comrade. And then I realized, wow, I still have that bias in me from, my service.
It's hard. I would say I didn't start using that until I really started getting active in the streets. When I was just doing my show, and I was maybe a far left liberal who thought socialism and capitalism could coexist at the, you know, I just wanted some reform. When I was a reformist liberal, when I first started my show 3 years ago or more, I wouldn't use the word capitalist. I wouldn't call myself a socialist or a communist. I would call myself, at best, a left libertarian, you know, because that's what Chomsky uses, and an anarchist. But now I kind of see them all, in their true sense, I see them as being pretty much the same. And once I started getting active in the community with various projects, I just naturally started calling people comrades. And now I don't have any, but I had that thing in my head growing up, that comrades were evil state socialists that, you know, killed 40 million people here and 4 million people there. And well, I come to find out capitalism has killed way more. And, those forms of socialism that we call, you know, Stalin's Russia or whatever, those were deformed socialist states. And I'm not a fan of the state in general.
Let me shape our conversation here a little bit more, because I don't get enough chances to speak with fellow anarchists about capitalism, and I don't feel entirely negative about it. I feel 90% negative about it, so to speak. For instance, I'm more of a, what you'd probably call an anarchist communalist, and that, you know, without going into a tiresome description of that, basically what it comes down to is I want to make sure that people's basic needs, since we have so much wealth in the world, that the basic needs are taken care of, and that communities have rights, and that as we form a network of interlocked federations of communities across the, you know, as much territory as possible, so that we're standing in solidarity with mutual benefit and all those good aspects of anarchism, that we have so much wealth that I cannot even begin to imagine that we wouldn't find ourselves in the awkward spot of wondering, how do we manage, you know, who gets what where now that we've all got our needs met?
How about communities deciding, you know, self-organization?
Yeah.
I mean, let me give you an example.
Hold on. Right. That means that you're going to have something like a market, and you're going to have something, you know, that, I mean, obviously workers would be arranged in what essentially we call businesses now. There's no monopoly, so to speak, in, you know, where the capitalists get to claim the ideas of market and business as being only capitalistic, and that's what they are always getting away with claiming. But in addition to having businesses and markets, you're going to have some form of free trade that's going to be most effective in deciding how to negotiate certain types of, business.
Yeah, well, so if you live in a farming area and another place doesn't have any farming and they have, I don't know, industry, maybe they produce cars or something, there has to be trade, right? But what you knock out the profit motive, and you and also the people representing you in your negotiations from one community to the other, like, oh, you need food, we need cars, or you need refined gasoline or solar you know, energy panels or whatever it is that you're trading, because, you know, business has to go on. It's just a different way of organizing.
Society, well organized, will actually have even more product than in a capitalist society, where the problem with capitalism isn't free trade. The problem with capitalism is that everything is abstracted to the point where certain people can play the market and extract or liquidate values, or what you can think of as people's disinterests, because nobody's guarding those values. They're getting rid of them or losing them. You know, then providing those values as abstract money to those people who have interests, like, I want to build a new factory, et cetera. And then they are able to profit without doing any of the work themselves, except for the business of, you know, profiting and profiting.
I'm not quite sure what you just said.
What I just said is, you know, that they're able to accumulate large pools of abstract value in the form of money.
Yeah, I would like to have a society that doesn't allow for large pools of money or aggregated wealth to be accumulated, because with the aggregated wealth comes the hiring of people with guns, or the bribing of I don't want to say government, because we wouldn't have the same sort of, you know, government, but the corruption that comes with it, and the guns and the force and the oppression. And I think if you get rid of the profit motive and everything is just made, we need a revolution of the mind where people get out of this thing that says, you know, I have to have more, I have to have more, I have to accumulate and aggregate.
I think it's really important, though, that once you get rid of the excess profit and all that, because depending on how you define profit, you know, it's related to expenses and things of that sort, overhead, you know, and there's going to be debate between communities as to what fair overhead is and that should be allowed to be hacked out by them.
It's got to be hacked out. It's a difficult process, but it's messy. There's nothing utopian and perfect about it.
The market has been very effective at allowing that to happen, but it's also been very effective at allowing these large accumulations of capital. So, but I mean, my problem here is that let's say you and I and 15,000 other people are, you know, in a networked, you know, like a Mondragon over in Spain, where we have all kinds of industrial production that's worker-owned.
Right.
And we're being very successful with it. At some point in time, we're going to have a bunch of product Z that's in excess, that's sitting in the backyard. You can never hit your production needs exact.
You can get them close.
We're living in a – no, I've been in business for years before
that. You've been in a capitalist society.
Yes, but
we're talking about a different society.
When you were talking about only having three types of cars, that seemed absurd to me.
Well, three? No, I think 14, maybe. I don't know.
See, even 14. The idea of the anarchy is that the workers are able to more properly function with all their basic needs met. They're more able to then freely create and achieve their maximum creative potential, given that they're getting the full worth of their work, which is the ideal of capitalism originally, also, by the way. But various rationales have always been used to permit whatever the newest system is. The thing is, though, that if you have people on one coast and another coast that are producing cars, you're not going to coordinate across all that range between communities unless you have some sort of state or centralized control. You're going to have something that's like a market where I go out and I announce, look, I've got so much of this and I don't need it, you know, but I'd like to see something done with it, and I need the room that it's sitting on. You know, and the idea of having many, many different sets of workers developing cars and going to conventions and comparing notes, you know, has everything to do with maximizing the design potential. There are some elements of capitalism that work great that we don't want to lose, and they're not just elements of capitalism. They're elements of any system that's built smartly. You know,
I appreciate the viewpoint. I do.
So I'm always working through that. I mean, I recognize that I'm an anarchist, and I'm not a capitalist, but there's something somewhere in there where I see certain advantages of a capitalist that I want to preserve as an anarchist.
Right. I don't. And let me speak on this for a second. So I think perhaps, I don't want to put words in your head or in your mouth, but I think you still have some of that thing that you talked about, referenced earlier, I can't say comrade because that's a commie thing, right?
Don't base it on that. For your purposes, imagine I'm a devil's advocate.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know where to go with this, but I think we confuse production, and we confuse innovation and work and building a better mousetrap. We confuse that with capitalism. I recall during Occupy when I was using my iPhone to videotape things, or not videotape, but to digitally record things. That's how old I am. I say videotape.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
It's an 8-track. And this woman, this random woman, was like, "Well, capitalism brought you the iPhone, so you're using, you know." I'm like, "No, it didn't. The workers, smart people who worked with their brains to create the software, people who drove, people who assembled them in the sweatshops in China."
Well, I would not argue
labor,
with that.
Labor creates everything, and we shouldn't confuse that with capitalism. We would still have airplanes.
I'm not.
I know, but let me finish this. So yeah. We would still, for the benefit of anybody listening, all five people, but we would still have all the things we need. We would have RVs, and we would have space shuttles, or we would have everything that we need or everything we want. And because the billionaires and the killionaires, the true capitalists, if you own, if you own a garage or you own a pizza place, you're not a capitalist. I mean, people confuse that. We would have the internet. The internet came out of public funds at MIT and other places. What do they call it? DARPA back in the day. We would have all of these things, but what we wouldn't have is resource wars. We wouldn't have the exploitation of third world countries and their people and their resources. We wouldn't be dumping externalities, the toxic waste or whatever it is, the externalities, the cost of production onto the environment and onto the people, in third world, second world, and sometimes even in the first world. We wouldn't have all that. Capitalism doesn't cause innovation. Human beings cause innovation. They go, "Oh, wow, I think I can do this better. I think I can make it. I can make this machine that it would be good for society." But the capitalists come in and they claim that technology, they patent it, and they copyright it, and then they withhold it unless you've got the money to pay for it. And so, I just wanted to say that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I had a couple of thoughts while you were talking there, and. I don't know how much more time we have.
We got all the time in the world.
Okay.
We got about 20 minutes unless somebody puts their hands up. There's two other people online listening. But if somebody presses one, I'll get the notice and I'll bring them on.
There we go. Well, one of the thoughts I had is that when I was deciding whether or not I was going to become an anarchist, I thought through a lot of different things. And one of the more impressive things I realized was, hell, I was, in the Navy for 5 years, and what was that but for socialism? I mean, a lot of people that believe in capitalism would be crying hell right now, but if they served and looked at the way that a ship is run, they'd realize that...
it's authority, top down.
No.
Tyranny.
No.
Come on.
No.
You take the orders and show up where
no.
you...
Yeah.
No.
No.
You don't
it's not the way it works.
Show up.
No, it's not the way it works.
When they tell you to show up, do the job they tell you to do.
No, in fact, the whole effort against World War II was a massive socialized enterprise where the government took control of all of the production and everything, and decided that it was all going to be piped into Europe. In order to fight Hitler and into the Pacific Rim to fight the Japanese and all the forces. That was just a massive socialist enterprise.
Yeah, yeah.
That wasn't a bunch of corporations and a capitalist array of economics deciding where all that stuff went.
Yes.
If we had to wait for the capitalists to build the highway system, the infrastructure for our current highway system, we still wouldn't have it.
If we had to wait for the capitalists to build anything, they would never build anything. Labor builds everything. And then they control it afterwards.
Labor, under this system, does not fix the light at the end of the street when it goes out unless there's a profit attached to it. So, you know, when you have austerity shutting down your government, you start to see the lights going out in places. The only thing that can fix those fucking lights, and we dropped the F-bomb just there,
yes,
are the people in the community either getting together and making sure it happens, which is what we're going to be left with as soon as austerity hits us enough.
It will.
You know, I mean, because right now Racine can't actually, the place where I live here in Wisconsin, cannot effectively remove the snow in several of our recent winters. You still there, buddy?
No, I am. I'm just trying not to interrupt.
And so I find myself increasingly doing what the city used to do.
How do you?
I already know austerity is hitting us as private homeowners and stuff. You know, so, you know, all one has to do is fast forward this because the bubble that dropped never actually got fixed by any reforms.
Never.
So we have a whole nother bubble from the $18 trillion worth of calculated debt that's been spread around the world that's going to hit us again. And there's really, you know, no way around this. In fact, if you go read any of the, you know, broadsheets on economics or trading or the stock market, you will frequently run into people that are analyzing our, you know, our world situation, and they're all talking about where the next bubble is coming from because they know that things have not been fixed, and they're trying to tell which system's going to pop first.
Right.
You know,
and they're making arrangements to suppress the will of the people, to suppress protesters and demonstrators. They're tightening the noose on civil liberties.
Oh yeah,
because they know that people are going to be pissed when it crashes again. Let's change the subject a little bit.
Just look around, you know. Freaking the world's blowing up and riot all over the place.
Right. And
but yeah, go ahead.
It really should be. Because
yeah.
You know, I mean it should be. We got a handful of billionaires and trillionaires that are running things and owning governments and using guns and willing mercenaries to enforce their will. And people are tired of it. People want to be free.
Yeah.
People are anarchists, whether they think they are or not. They just, you know, they live in a fishbowl full of propaganda and end up believing all sorts of crap that isn't true. Anyway, let me throw this out there, and because this
sure.
One of the things that I've got a lot of liberal Democrat friends on my Facebook page, right? Like 2,000
mm-hmm.
people, right? And there's a popular meme going around, and it's got the turtle guy, what's his name, McConnell, and it's got Agent Orange, Boner, John Boner, and that little freak, Eric Cantor, right?
Oh, God.
And so it's got these three, right, the Republicans. And then it says, the deficit is down over 30%. The stock market, corporate profits are at a record high. New home sales are rising. The unemployment rate is falling. And consumer confidence is at a six-year high. Is President Obama destroying America,
there's some problems with those figures.
Let me lay it out. So I see this meme. I see this meme, and he's all these things, right? The deficit's down, stock market's up, corporate profits record high, home sales rising, unemployment falling, consumer confidence six-year high. And the point of the meme is to is to get Democrats to dislike Republicans and you know, in support of Obama, because supposedly Obama has done all these wonderful things. And I got a lot of problems with this meme, and I put it out there on my page, and I asked people to dissect it and go point by point and tell me what's wrong with this meme. And here's a really frustrating thing. It's been shared over 1,300 times since May 28th. And, you know, it's got like 1,800 likes. So there's that I know of. There's a bunch of people that are sharing this, and they're, you know, basically it's the Republicans' fault, and Obama's doing great things because, oh my gosh, the stock market's up. Well, just out of curiosity, I know I'll put you on the spot here. What are some of the problems? Let's take the first one. The deficit is down over 30%.
Oh, that's an easy one. Most people don't even realize that when they say the deficit, what they mean is in this next budget, you know, and projected. You know, so they're just talking
really
fucking
matter.
Fancy numbers. They're not even talking reality.
It doesn't really matter. When,
you know,
when he's killing American citizens, he's killed four of them now, on his say-so without any trial. You know, when he signs the NDAA, when he eavesdrops and spies on American citizens without a court order.
That's the thing though. You've got to hit these. You know, I've considered myself I've been debating since high school. We hit third in state, and I was the guy who played both pro and con, depending on who wasn't there.
Right.
Right. And because I was excellent at arguing both sides. So had I been able to be on one side or the other, I've always felt like we would have played second or first, actually. But we had a lot of guys that wouldn't show up, and when we went to state, some of them really chickened out. But anyway, you know, so I've always loved debate, and I like to take things head on. So, you know, I totally agree with what you just did, okay, because it's all very true. And at what cost can we let those things happen? You know, you got to put those front and center when it's appropriate. But when talking about the deficit being 30% down, you got to face that one head on. That's the reason why I'm trying to grapple with the capitalist arguments and face those head on as an anarchist while I'm grappling with those. And I find that many of us as our anarchists have a habit of switching the topic a lot because of the way that anarchism is so poorly understood by other people, so we're very eager to switch to, well, here, look, this is what I'm talking about. Anarchy is this. We want to get the chance for the positive to get out there to attract them to it and think about it. But the truth is, I also like to hit whatever they bring at me dead on. You know.
Well,
so
let me bring you this one.
I would go through each of those points.
Let's leave the deficit alone. Let's go to this one then. Let's head on.
Yeah.
The stock market / corporate profits are at record highs, and somehow this is a good thing. I mean, what do you think about that? Does it and who is owning the stock market?
First of all, when the government saved all the banks, it naturally made capital. You know, it pumped a vast amount of capital,
yes.
Trillions, as a matter of fact.
Trillions.
Into the from the Fed into not only our country but
other countries as well,
including particular individuals is what the record says, but we don't know who those individuals were. And you know, when you pump trillions of dollars into an economy and then give money to the banks at less
at zero than
0% interest, and then borrowing it back from them at like 1.5% or 3/4%
and
or
yet
whatever.
Students get charged 7%, 8%, 12%, 20%.
Right. And then when you shut down the money supply, what the banks can then do, and as businesses as well, is as people are then struggling, there are plenty of assets out there to absorb at a low cost or a low price. Meanwhile, all the corporations networked in production with each other as they're laying off people. I mean, a corporation's biggest expense is workers.
Right. Well,
so
that's why they're in Bangladesh and China and everywhere else.
Yeah. So if you're going to offshore to all the other places and toss all your workers out, you're going to maximize your profits. There's no doubt about that.
And this is
and
the
if
evil
you're not,
of the system.
And if you're allowed to keep all your profits in an offshore bank, then, yes, when you look at the stock market, you're a very rich corporation.
Yeah. So just because the stock market is up, and I've had conversations in real life, people are like, well, the economy is doing good. I heard that the stock market was up. And, of course, this person, you know, works for $10 an hour and lives in a, you know, $450 a month shithole apartment. But they're happy for some reason because the TV machine told them that the stock market was up, even though they're not, you know, invested in it in any way. There's just a hand. There's really a small amount of people that own most of the stock. This is most Americans don't own
stock. Actually, Brad, I'm sorry, Hebert, you're actually wrong about that. Just about anybody who's been working for any corporation for any period of time or public works owns stock in the form of pensions.
Yeah. Right, but it's very, very small.
No. Pensions are the largest funds invested in the stock market. I worked at a brokerage.
Right.
If you go look, you'll find out that pensions are just massive amounts of money in the total capitalization.
And this is why the corporations love to liquidate the pensions and put them in their fucking pockets when they take over corporations and put them out of business. Say, oh, sorry.
Exactly.
You know, so this is not safe money. You know, but anyway, so, okay, I'll stand corrected on that. But my larger point is the reason the stock market is going back up, not because a bunch of people are, you know, just regular workaday people are doing better in their lives. It's going up because they were at bargain prices, and the people who survived the meltdown 5 years ago have access to capital, and they're buying it. You know, they're reinflating.
Yeah.
That's my larger point.
Well,
so let's move on. Can we move on to the next one? Let's take this one. Home sales are rising. Well, that sounds like a good thing, right? On the surface, home sales are rising. But
when home sales drop to the point that they have, you know, naturally there's a ton of home sales. It's the banks that are, you know, the banks are selling them for whatever they can get.
Investors are buying them. It used to be that you know, people had their mortgages and they owned their home and their debt. But now there's more and more and more institutional investors buying the homes. It's not like people have better jobs now and they've got more money and so they're buying homes. I don't see that new home sales rising as being something it's nice, but it's not the whole picture. You can't say, well, home sales are up and they're rising. Well, the banks own most of the goddamn homes these days.
Well, they don't even know if they own all of them.
Yeah.
The next bubble that's actually that I've seen being highly spoken about, not highly, I should just say often spoken about, is the chance that all the lost paperwork on the home loans will create a destabilizing effect in the home market because the banks actually don't know.
They don't have
all the paperwork.
There's no chain of custody.
Mm-hmm.
I've got friends that are being foreclosed on or told, and they're basically saying, show me the deed, show me the note, because our attorney general here in Reno put a stop to foreclosures unless they could show the deed. Because nobody knows. All these mortgages were divided up, divvied up like a salad, all chopped up,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then sold off in bundles. And I've got one friend who hasn't paid a mortgage in like 2.5 years, and he's got, you know, a nice $400,000 or $500,000 house, but he hasn't paid on it because they can't show him. They can't show him, and too many people are leaving their homes because they get a piece of paper, a notice saying, and they just assume that the bank has the note when they don't in most cases. And the fraud, this is the biggest fraud that has ever happened in the history of mankind. This fucking housing bubble and the derivatives from that, the way they packaged it and sold it. And this is, again, this is a symptom of capitalism. This is what capitalism
does. Do you think it might have been manufactured?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because this is a great way to steal wealth. And this is what capitalists do. They try to figure out how to maximize their profits, even if it's immoral, even if it's unjust, if it kills people, if it takes their homes. It doesn't matter. As long as they can buy enough senators and congressmen, as long as they can buy the government, then they can do what they want over time. I mean, this goes back to the Powell memo in the early 60s. This is capitalism. This is why I don't want any form of capitalism. It has to end. It's not good. I feel like a peasant in the 1500s saying, I don't want any king. I just don't. It has to end.
And the problem is most people will balk at the word manufactured, but when you look at the way that capitalists claim that things come about through the efficiency of the market, you can start to play with the same definition of intent and point out that, well, yes, and all the players happen to know. In fact, when I've been in business, I've been in crews, so to speak, you know, like when I was working at I can't say the company, but it's the third largest regional brokerage in the United States, and I was like the top technology trainer there. But the technology trainer for 2,500 people. But
Eric, we're running out of time, so
So I'll just finish this. I mean, but you know, just like when you're conspiring supposedly with somebody else because they see that you're white and they think they can get away with calling somebody, you know, some racist epithet or something. In business place, you'd get the same thing where you'd point out something that was unethical, and then they just kind of conspire with, you know, well, that's not my problem, and isn't that the way the game's played? You know,
right? That's a good point, right? That's the way the game is played. But they never question the game as long as they can get ahead. Eric, man, I appreciate you calling in. I am out of time, my friend.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on the phone here.
All right, brother.
Have a good night, man.
All right, you too.
Get better.
That was Uncle Schnooky, Eric Schnook. I'm just going to call you Snooky. I think that's your name, your new name. Anyway, appreciate the conversation, and appreciate everybody listening. Make sure to share this link with your friends. I'm on every Tuesday night, midnight, or Wednesday morning if you prefer. And the archives are available at Here Be Monsters on Blog Talk Radio, the Pinko the Bear Show on Here Be Monsters. Also at the TCPN network, www.thecommonsprojectnetwork.com. It's a hub for all things lefty, all shows lefty, lefty, leftist ear candy for the choir. I love you. I love you all. But I really, really, really got to go. Good night.
Arise, ye workers from your slumber. Arise, ye prisoners of want. That's right. For reason in revolt now thunder. Chains of hatred, greed, and fear. Away with all your superstitions. Serve our masters. Arise, arise. We'll change henceforth the old tradition and spurn the dust to win the prize. So, comrades, come on and rally. Then the last fight, let us face the the whole darn human race. So comrades, come on, let's go rally. And the last fight, let us face. The international unites the whole darn human race. No more deluded by reaction. On tyrants only we'll make war. The soldiers too will take strike action. They'll break ranks and fight no more. And if those cannibals keep trying to sacrifice us to their pride, each at the force must do their duty, and we'll strike while the iron is hot. So comrades, come on, let's go rally. And the last fight, let us face. The international unites the whole beautiful human race. So comrades, come on, let's go rally. Ha! And the last fight, let us face. The